Laverne, would you come and share with us as the Lord leads?
Sir loves to eat. Good morning. I'm just elated, thrilled to be here this morning, and most of all because it's coming home for me, but then to have such a God-led church that's willing to come alongside the work in Bronx, New York, and then to have sent people to serve with us in New York over the years. And then I looked around this morning and saw all these wonderful faces around the table that will be serving with us in New York in a couple of weeks. I have to say one thing. I'm not going to say, I was somewhere yesterday at a relative's house, and that relative, as we sat down to eat, said, "Whew, when I signed up for this, I thought the work began August 7th. I won't tell you who said that, but you can guess. I think he's a digging here. I'm in trouble. I want to greet you, but as we come together to worship the Lord, I want us to expand our vision beyond the local community of Arrington, Lovingston, Nelson County. And I want us to consider the global work of God and specifically what your role is in it. Now, I know it has to have come across your mind because it came across mine when I knew the Lord was calling me to New York, was why our church would partner with a ministry in Bronx, New York. So let me give you some numbers. Nelson has about 14,700 residents, and the Bronx, where they will be serving, has about 1.4 million people. That's almost 100 times the size of Nelson. And it may seem like such a huge leap to go from Nelson County to Bronx, New York. But actually, in the scriptures, and we are going to look at today, Greg, I need that clicker thing. Actually, as we look at the scripture today, we are going to see the answer in one of God's words, which is Isaiah 55, 10 through 13. I'm tech unsavvy. But in Isaiah 55, 10 through 13, we are going to see the power of God's word. And we're going to look at how when Isaiah was speaking to Israel 700 years or so before Christ was born, but God was speaking to Israel, and Israel had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. The king had just freed them. So what I want us to do is think about, even though they probably were so eager to go home, to go to Judah, at the same time, I feel like there had to have been other feelings that they may have had. So what I want us to look at is how God's word is always and will always be unstoppable, despite how we may feel. Before we look at what I have on the PowerPoint, God wasn't just offering Israel a return to their home. He was also offering them a free gift of salvation. He was offering them a spiritual renewal if they would return to him. So this passage is going to highlight God's capability, the capability of God's word alone. It's going to show his steadfast promises, and it's going to show that God leads all the way. Our role is to follow him. So why Woodland? Why did God call Woodland to go serve in Bronx, New York? I want us to think about that as we look at this passage. All right, Isaiah 55, 10 through 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve for the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle. This will be for the Lord's honor and glory, for an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. So what I would like us to think about, and it should be in your notes, but that I can't see. Okay. This passage is talking about how God's word is always effective. It always accomplishes his divine plan. And then that it leads to joy, peace, and lasting transformation, regardless of the soil, and it's all for his great honor. So this is why Woodland has given money for backpacks, which was an unbelievable amount. Because of you, 1,034 families will receive a backpack with God's word in the backpack, and it will be handed to them individually. But then, now what I want to look at is how the word of God is unstoppable and powerful, and how he has chosen you to help deliver a message of who he is and a message of hope. Now, some of you may say, well, I'm not going to on this trip. How does it apply to me? It applies to you right here for you to remember God's word is always powerful. And as you go out throughout your lives day to day, you are to be bold and be willing to share who God is to you, what he did for you. But then also, we need prayer as we are on this journey, because we need to focus on God, his glory, and not ourselves. And it's your prayers that you will be interceding for us, praying that we continue to align with what God has called us to do. Now, I want us to think about the rain, because we've had some in the last few days. That rain just falls, but it doesn't go back up in the clouds. What does it do? Come, some people, tell me, what does the rain do? What does it do? It waters the earth. And then what happens? What happens? Things grow, produce, corn, tomatoes, grass that you have to cut. But what I want to say is that rain has a guaranteed purpose. It just doesn't go back up into the cloud and do absolutely nothing. One of my ESL students, when I say, what did you do today? Nothing. What did you do today? Nada. And I said, tomorrow when you come in here, do not say nada. But anyway, what I want us to think is God's word does something. So what God is telling us in the passage is his word is just like the rain. It goes out from his mouth, and it does not return empty. It accomplishes his purpose for what he desires. So look at it as a gift coming from heaven that provides totally for human need. His word coming out of his mouth is powerful. It's not you. It's him. The guaranteed effect. You know how we always want 100% guarantee. If you buy a refrigerator, you want a warranty. If you buy a car, you want a warranty. When you read God's word, you get 100% guarantee. And he says it will accomplish his purpose. This is divine certainty. It's not a wish. God is saying, it will accomplish my purpose. What's the purpose? The rain furnishes both the seed for the sower, bread for the eater. The word of God plants the seed of repentance in the heart. And repentance is the only way, because of Jesus, to reconcile us to God. That's the word the team will be carrying. That's the word that you will be praying for this team. So what's the application to Nelson? Just like in Nelson County, when you go to the grocery store or you go to work, the word works. And it's going to work in the dense urban landscape of the Bronx. No matter how hard the ground, how hard the heart, no matter how complex the community, God's word penetrates. He said it won't return empty. As a church, as a team, we need to have confidence. It's just not sending out a little bit of people to millions of people. But what it's doing is deploying God's unstoppable word. You can have confidence, team, not in yourselves, but in God. That's where your confidence is. What are you going to say? You are Christ's ambassador. You are saying, receive what God has already done. I work with people every day that thinks it's Jesus plus something, or they think it's not Jesus. So you need to make sure they hear that to receive what God has already done. We have been made right with God by Jesus Christ alone. Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus died. Jesus took our guilt. So because of Christ, we can become reconciled to God through Christ alone. Those are some powerful words. You don't have to worry about whether the person receives it. Your obedience is to deliver the message. That's it. Deliver the message. So point two, You may wonder why I have put response on there, because I'm praying that God's word speak to you this morning and that there will be something that God will say to you, what he has given to me to say. Because my prayer is that I will be speaking what God would have me to say. There's joyful participation, point to joyful participation in God's global leading. What does that mean? Well, 55:12 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. It says the mountains and the hills will burst into song, and all of the trees will clap their hands. The experience of being sent to the original audience, the Israelites that were returning from exile, it was going to be a tough journey for them. They were anticipating the walk because they didn't have the cars that we have. They didn't have buggies. They had their feet, and they were going back home. So you can imagine that there had to have been joy at returning, but also some anxiousness, some anxiety about going. But God said he was going to promise them joy and peace. What's joy? It's knowing that you are following, that you are walking in the obedience to God. It's knowing that you have aligned your heart with God's heart. And that should be our day-to-day journey, aligning ourselves with God. So Woodland team, when you engage in missions, you gave. You purchased 1,034 backpacks. You're praying. You are participating in God's grand story, because God has a story and you are part of his plan. So I want you to be joyful about that, because you are aligning yourselves with his work. He doesn't need you, but he's called you. So I want you to have joy to know he's got you. The parallel of Israel, the exiles leaving Israel, going back to Judah, to this team going to the Bronx. What is it? Both face elation, excitement, like your pastor wants to eat pizza, okay? But also, you gotta wonder, who am I gonna share with? What am I going to say? You have a mixture of feelings. Israel had a mixture of feelings. There's a natural apprehension about the unfamiliarity of the urban environment. This morning, as I was sitting on the porch looking at the mountains, and just, you could see the freshness from the rain, I thought about how you are going to leave that on the 7th, and you are going to enter a city that there are so many people, it looks like ants. It's going to be so much noise. You are going to be using a method of transportation that you're not used to, the subway. You're going to be worried about, am I getting on in time? Ooh, I don't want to get left. It's going to be challenges. And then you may feel small because it's so many people. And you may wonder, why am I here? That mixture of feelings. Just like Israel had to wonder about the journey, about what it was going to be like when they got back to Judah. They had the task of rebuilding the temple. But you can have joy in that uneasiness. You can have joy in that journey because of the peace that comes from God. You're lining up with what he's called you to do. And then it's going to be physically demanding. It was physically demanding for Israel. And it wasn't just the travel, but the daily demands. The team will have daily demands of navigating systems that they are not familiar with every day. They will be engaging with brokenness. You have brokenness here, but it multiplies. You will see people laying on the street. You will see people talking to themselves. You know, the smell of certain things just smell like the natural air in New York. You know what I mean? But just like the Israelites when they were traveling, God's got you. He's protecting you. And you have to be willing to rely on God just like the Israelites did. And then I'm going to talk about another complexity of the trip. It's not always physical opposition that you will see. You will encounter hurdles. There will be cultural differences. I remember just hearing so many languages when I would get on the train or walk down the street. I would remember seeing so many people that didn't look like me. I would remember trying to find the right shoes because your feet carry you. Then the team will leave the luxury of their home and gonna have to share a bathroom. Can you imagine? I'm sure they think about it. So there are cultural differences, there are logistical complexities. There are things that may be a little overwhelming, but the rebuilding, it's not about them. It's about a spiritual transformation. It's about building trust. The trip's about fostering hope where there's despair. Just a glimpse of hope can mean so much to an individual that's broken. But then I want you to remember the peace in the journey as you are led forth. The peace isn't the absence of challenges, because there will be challenges. And I don't know all of what they will be. But what I can assure you, and I want you to pray for the team, is that they will have a peace over them that only comes from the Lord. Because they are trusting the Lord completely. A lot of times, our error is in trusting ourselves. Oh, I can handle this. I can handle that. But we need to ask God to help us be at peace and handle everything from the second we wake up in the morning. That's how you can be praying for your church. And then there's point three. That there will be a lasting transformation for God's honor. If you were to come to me and say to me, since you've been there for 10 years, how many people have accepted Jesus? Haven't been many. But I still know that I'm aligning with God's call by staying there. It's so noisy there. I love it when I come here. It's just quiet. I can hear myself breathe. In New York, you can't hear yourself breathe sometimes. But it's still God's people there. God still wants him to hear the message of hope. And you are delivering that. Your advantage, too, is you know a piece about living here, and that's just a glimpse of the peace that you can have when you are aligning your life with God. So you can talk about the peacefulness that comes from Christ. And then in point three, in 55:13, God talks about the thorn bushes. He said instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle. But this is for the Lord's glory and honor, for an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. The radical change is that the thorns and the briars symbolize barrenness. It symbolizes hardship. It symbolizes the effects of sin. But then that juniper and myrtle, because of God's word, not you, will represent beauty. It will represent fruitfulness. It will represent a new life. Because God's word is transformative. It's going to change. It's going to bring about change. Application to Woodland, application to Florence, to Fordham Community Church. Like in a community, there are thorns, mental illness, homelessness, robberies, illness, people not knowing Jesus. There are social challenges. What has the power to change all of this? Sinfulness, the sinful ways, the sinful behaviors, the results. It's only God's word. So Woodland, your partnership with coming alongside Fordham Community Church, your willingness to send money for buying backpacks, your willingness to send people to serve, your willingness for people to come, 16, to serve, is an instrument through which God can bring transformation. It's about seeing lives change, families restored, to give hope where despair grows. It's about seeing the juniper grow where thorn bushes once were. Imagine it. But why? Why do we want to see junipers and myrtles? Why do we want to see transformation for God's honor? For an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. The ultimate goal of Woodland coming alongside Fordham Community Church, for teams coming to New York, is to show how good God is, to put his goodness and power on display. The transformed lives in the Bronx has been touched and will be touched by your prayers from your faithful support. But it's an undeniable testament to God's faithfulness, to his power. This team will also encourage members of my church, because people are coming alongside them to share the hope that we have in Christ. You're encouraging me. And God's work is a sign that endures forever. Forever. So as I conclude, I want to say, why does God use a community like yours? Because his word is effective everywhere. Because God leads with joy and peace in his global mission. His desire is for a lasting transformation and his honor to be known across the globe. Not just Nelson, the globe. And we have a glimpse of that when we see that after Jesus comes back, we all will be praising him. And what I imagine now is there are so many people I see each day, talk to you each day, that I have no clue as to what they are saying. But when we are at the feet of Jesus, when we are praising him, we will all understand one another. And what a joy that will be. So that's what we're working for. So my call to action to you, what do you need to do? Please pray for us. Pray fervently for your church, that you reach those that God is calling you to reach. Pray for the ministries in your community. Pray for the ministries in the Bronx. Pray, knowing God's word will not return void, that it will be shared often. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It matters that you do what God has called you to do. And he calls you to witness, whether it's here or somewhere else. Don't be afraid to answer the call. Don't be afraid of what you're going to say, because you need to be rooted in who God is. You need to be rooted in what his word says. And remember, his word is unstoppable. It will not return empty. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for each person that's praying at this church. We thank you for each person here. Lord, we pray that each person here will just get a glimpse of the understanding of the power of who you are and of the power of your word. We pray that we will be bold to talk about Jesus, because it's only because of Christ that we'll write for you. Lord, we can stand in your presence because of Christ. It's nothing about us. And we pray that we will be instruments of your glory that will show people that it's all about God and not about us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.